Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Jesus had some very interesting encounters with people in his ministry here on earth. He dealt with the occupying Roman army, the military. He dealt with the religious elite. He dealt with rich people, poor people. He dealt with the down and outs of society, the people who are ostracized in society. He dealt with all kinds of people, and what we found in his dealings with them is that they were always kind of tripping over their misunderstandings and their misperceptions. One time, Jesus was talking with some Jews who had come to faith in him. Now, let me say that again. These were Jewish people who had given their lives to Christ following his teachings. And he told them about freedom. And he says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And these Jewish new believers were confused by that. And they were saying, well, we're Abraham's descendants. We're part of the chosen people. We have never been slaves. So what do you mean we have to be set free? Now, the first problem with their statement is that Jesus was talking about spiritual freedom that comes with knowing him and knowing what God's plan is for humanity. It was not talking about freedom for real slavery. The second problem with their statement is that they had been enslaved many times. The book of Exodus talks about the Hebrew people being freed from generations of slavery in Egypt, and then about 700 years later, they were carted off into exile by Assyria, led out with fishhooks in their noses, and then about 150 years after that, the southern kingdom of Judah was carted off into exile into Babylon. So they had been slaves. They just seemed to have forgotten that. But these new believers had missed the point. We're chosen, they said. We're descendants of Abraham. We have never had to be set free. But they were simply mistaken. We're going to talk about that a little this morning. Let's pray. Father, help us to see why we need to be set free. Help us to understand that being in sin, being slaves to sin, is in fact slavery. And we do in fact need to be freed from that. Help us to not get lulled into some kind of complacency that, hey, we're Christians, we don't have to worry about things, when perhaps we need to be focused a little bit more on how it is that people come to faith and what it means to be set free. Amen. So technically, you could say that I am a fisherman. I'm going to confess some things this morning. You're going to probably want to write this all down, because it's not very often that pastors get up and start making confessions. So this is it. Technically, you could say that I'm a fisherman. I grew up in a family of fishermen. We all had our own tackle boxes. We all had our own rods and reels. You know, I had a little Zebco reel. You know, the rest of my family all had the under the pole kind that you used your left hand. I never graduated into the really cool reels. And this is why, because I didn't like to bait the hook. Didn't like it. And what's more is I didn't like to take the fish off the hook. I loved fishing, casting and fishing, but I didn't like, and even though I was a Boy Scout and learned to clean fish, I hated cleaning fish. Who wants to kill a fish and gut a fish? No one, except my family. My family just thought that was the cat's meow. So by all intents and purposes, I was a fisherman, except I wasn't. I wasn't a fisherman. Here's another one, and this is probably going to get me in a lot of trouble. Golf. I own my own clubs. I have clubs that were personally handmade by somebody for me. I've used them 3 times. And I played best ball every time, because when I would, well, if I wasn't throwing the club at the tee box, the ball was going way over there, and so I'd just say, okay, we're just going to play best ball. Wherever your ball went, we're playing from there, because I could never, I'd go through an entire bag of balls in one game, and they're not even called games. So I was not a golfer. You know, and I know that Pastor Bob, Josh over there, Alyssa is probably going to, they're probably going to disown me because I'm not much of a golfer. I don't even watch golf on TV. And if I go into a store where there's a golf area, I avoid it like the plague. Because I don't want anybody asking me about, hey, you want to golf? No. I'm not a swimmer either. All of my brothers and sisters got their water safety instructor cards and were lifeguards. But I still kind of swam around in the baby area because I never learned to swim. Now, you couldn't drown me if you tried because I'm really good at treading water. But I'm not a swimmer. So here's the thing. I hung around fishermen, but I didn't become a fisherman. I've hung around golfers. I even own my own clubs, but I haven't become a golfer. And I love to be in the water, but you could not call what I do swimming by any stretch of the imagination. You have to have a passion to be a golfer. You have to have a passion to be a fisherman. You may not have to have a passion for swimming, but you better practice if you want to be called a swimmer. You have to have that passion if you want to be something, a teacher, a locksmith, a diamond cutter, an actor, a chef. If you want to be any of those things, you better like it and commit yourself to it, because you don't just pick it up. I did not pick up fishing because I touched my dad and it somehow glommed onto me that I became a fisherman. I could go with Josh golfing, and anything and everything that Josh would do would not make me a better golfer. Perhaps I'd be resistant. I don't know. But the thing is, I can't just soak up being a golfer. None of us inherit our faith. None of us become a believer because our parents made us that way, or we were born into a Christian family, or we went to the right church. That isn't what makes us a believer. God has children, people who have said, I want to belong to this family, and by Christ and his sacrifice on my behalf, I can become a member of God's family. He only has children. He does not have grandchildren who inherited faith from someone else. You have to have a passion to find Christ, and you have to apply yourself in order to come to Christ and be saved. Some years ago, Donald Sloat wrote a book called The Dangers of Growing Up in a Christian Home. And the entire book was about the fact that those of us who have children or were raised in a family where, you know, whose parents were children, we have a tendency to have some superimposed godliness. We live in a Christian environment. We go to the church of our parents. We might go to camp. We might go to Sunday school. We might go to youth group. We pick things up, but we don't really ever come to the place where we have our own faith because our parents' faith is superimposed on our lives. Or those of us who are parents and we have children, we kind of superimpose our faith on our kids. And we just assume, some of us, that that's all it takes. But it isn't what it takes. I can be a great golfer, you know, if I tried, but I cannot be a great golfer because my sisters and brothers are great golfers. It doesn't work that way. Faith in Christ is not inherited. We don't pick it up by osmosis. You don't go and touch someone and say, ooh, I want to soak up all the Jesus that you have. That's not how faith works. There is no superimposed faith. Children of pastors, how many PKs do we have in the room? There's a few, all right? Well, there's only two of us, two of them. I was not a PK. I was a preacher's grandkid, but not a PK. By the way, they don't call us PKs anymore. They call us GTOs. Glorified Theologian's Offspring. Yeah. Just in case you want to take that to Atlanta. Okay. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people think that preacher's kids, they must be super Christians because they grew up in the pastor's house. But all of those PKs had to come to faith on their own. They had to come to faith in Christ because they realized that there was a shortcoming in their lives. There was a short circuit, if you will, and they could not reach heaven on their own. They had to ask Jesus into their lives and become a follower in order to have eternal life. My son Zachary could not receive eternal life from me. He cannot receive eternal life from his mom. The only way Zachary can get to heaven is for him to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is his own. It's not based on anything I do or say. It is not based on the fact that he grew up in a preacher's house or that he went to church. It's all about who he is and who Christ is in his life. I keep wanting to say Zachary, but I say Jesus. Zachary came to faith at a week-long camp at Camp Marengo years ago, where he surrendered his life to Christ, went forward, and asked that Jesus become the leader, the master of his life. That's the only way that Zachary became a follower of Christ. Nothing that I did spiritually to imbue him with some type of life. My mom and her brothers and sisters were preacher's kids. There were 7 girls and 2 boys in the family. And they were preacher's kids, but they grew up in the rural farmlands of Kansas. And so they were also incredibly good street fighters. You could put them on a playground and they could whip the entire playground hands down. And so they would come to church and they'd sit on the front row with grandma while grandpa was preaching, and they all had, you know, wounds and bruises and contusions and broken arms and things like that. And so the question could be asked, okay, when did their faith just become automatic? And the answer is never. It never became an automatic belief. They all had to come to an understanding of who Christ is in their lives on their own. And many of my aunts and uncles came to Christ, but they did so as adults, not because they were preacher's kids. In fact, Grandpa died before most of them were married, and so they came to faith after the preacher in the family was gone. And some of them never came to faith. Some of them are still looking, and some have embraced other religions. Many of my cousins are Christians, some are searchers and skeptics, and some are Muslim and Mormon and other faiths. So it isn't just automatic that you become a believer because you're raised in a Christian family. There is no inheriting faith. And it's the same whether you're raised in a preacher's family or not. It's all the same for all of us. All of us have to have a faith that is real and genuine, not just handed down. It might be easy to catch COVID. It is not easy to catch Jesus. We have to have that personal encounter with him. Now, I probably made that point way too heavy, so I want to go on to this. And this is something that's even more worrisome about Dr. Sloat's book, because not only does it create a sense of superimposed faith when we're raised in a Christian home or raised in the church, but it also causes us to perhaps fight against it to some degree. Because we see our parents and we think, okay, they're not perfect, so maybe believing in Jesus isn't all it's stacked up to be. We go to church and we see that church is not always perfect. It's filled with imperfect people who are doing their best to become just like Jesus, but maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be, and so they resist. They find it easy to just say, thanks but no thanks, because of the fact that they're raised in a Christian family. That's not necessarily a new problem, though. Let's all turn to John chapter 8. You all have a Bible in front of you there in the pew if you don't have your own Bible with you, or might want to look it up on your phone. But John chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 31. This is the story I alluded to a little bit earlier. Jesus was talking with some Jews who had become Christians, who had come to faith in Christ. And there's some dispute about what Jesus had been teaching. So to the Jews, verse 31, he says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's where they begin to have a problem. Because they said, well, we're Abraham's descendants. We're the chosen people. we don't need to be set free from anything. We've never been slaves. Why are you saying we have to be free? We find evidence that they just don't understand the whole concept of freedom and slavery. How true is that in today's Christianity? We've grown up in a free society, most of us. Yes, back 200 years we had to fight for our independence from England, but for the most part, all of us have grown up in freedom. So we're not exactly sure what it means to be saved from or released from or freed from slavery. But the fact of the matter is, you're either going to be a slave or you're going to be in denial about your slavery. The crux of Jesus' teaching is there in verse 34. Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all of us have sinned, and if we sinned, we're a slave to sin. And then he goes on to say, and this is a little disturbing, in verse 35, a slave has no permanent place in the family. All of us have sinned and fall short. If you have sinned, you're a slave, and a slave has no permanent place in the family. So that begins to be a little scary when we think about that. But Jesus goes on to say, and this is where it really gets good, very truly I tell you, everyone who's a slave or who sins is a slave to sin, but a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So all of a sudden, there's the great good news there. You are, if you sin, you're a slave to sin. If you sin, you're not a permanent part of the family. But if the Son sets you free, you're in. You are free indeed. Jesus sets you free, then you're free. Your mom and dad can't set you free. Your grandma and grandpa couldn't. The people sitting next to you in the pew today can't set you free. Only Jesus can. And our kids and our grandkids, our nieces, our nephews all have to have a relationship with Jesus to be set free. Faith in Jesus rests solely on acknowledging that we cannot get to heaven on our own. We cannot be good enough. We need Jesus to come and grant us, by free gift of grace, grant us salvation. There is no hand-me-down faith. Being born in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. Going to a church doesn't make you a Christian. Reading the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Surrendering to the Lordship of Christ makes you a Christian. When I was a baby, about 6 months old, I was baptized by the pastor. I was raised in the Methodist Church. And so I was baptized as a baby, and the people in the hymnal, there was a place that they would all go to read, and they said something along these lines: we recognize you as a member of God's family. I was too young to hear it, too young to understand it, but that's what they said to me when I was baptized. Then when I was in junior high, I attended confirmation class, and confirmation class literally meant to be confirmed in your baptism. So I took this class, I learned all about the Old Testament, New Testament, things like that, to confirm that I was a member of God's family. But interestingly enough, I'd never heard that I was a sinner, that Jesus died for me, and that I had to be saved by him. When I heard that story sometime around high school, that I was a sinner in need of salvation, my initial statement was, salvation from what? What do I need to be saved from? I haven't done anything bad. I hadn't killed anybody. I might have driven a little bit too fast, but after, you know, is that a punishable offense? You know, I didn't understand the whole concept of what it meant to be a sinner in need of grace. I did learn that. And it was on June 8th in the summer of 1978. I was somewhere in the vicinity of 18, 19, 20 years old. I was at church camp, Camp Quaker Haven. 9:30 at night on Thursday night, I came forward to surrender my life to Christ. Because I realized then that I had no future if Jesus wasn't in charge of it, and if my life wasn't surrendered and immersed solely and completely in Him. At that point, my faith was my own. I was no longer relying on my mom being the choir director at the church and my dad being the scoutmaster and the head usher. That was not my claim to fame anymore. Now I had a relationship with Jesus, and it was a real one. And let's not lose sight of what Jesus is saying in verse 31 and 32. If you hold to my teaching, he says, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The New Living Translation changes the order. If you're truly my disciples, you'll remain faithful to my teaching. What it means for us to belong to Christ is that we study him. We listen to what his teachings are. We get into the Bible. And that's where the person sitting next to you in the pew can help you. The person sitting in the pew next to you can't save you, but they can help you grow in Christ. And you can help them grow in Christ. We can do that with our kids. We can help them grow in Christ, but we can't save them. Just like our parents couldn't save us, Jesus saves us. We are free because we have a personal, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you today, if you're a Christian, what would your answer be? Some of you might say, well, of course I'm a Christian. I'm in church. But that doesn't do it, does it? Some of you might say, well, what else would I be, Marty? I've been in the church my entire life. Yeah, but are you a Christian? Have you made the decision to follow Christ? Your faith is not handed down, it's discovered. The Holy Spirit works in your life, brings you to the place where you realize you cannot do it on your own, and you begin to understand that there is a need for a Savior. I'd like for you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. I just want to ask you this question. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And do you believe because you were taught to believe or told to believe, or do you believe because you surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ? And if you're not sure, just bow your heads and keep your eyes closed. I want you to silently repeat these words. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you came to earth to show me how to live. That you died in my place on the cross to take away my sin and my separation from God. I believe you died for me, and that you also rose from the dead to bring me eternal life. And I believe, not on the basis of my upbringing or my family traditions, I believe of my own accord, my own free will, by my own conscious choice. Cleanse my heart, make me new on the inside, fit me for life in heaven, and gift me for the life I need to live here on earth. I surrender my life completely to you. I love you, Jesus. Amen. If that's a prayer that you prayed today, I'd love for you to give me a call, Pastor Bob, a call. You can call Pastor Kay, Pastor Michael, Pastor Lisa, anyone else on staff that you would like to talk to just say, I prayed that prayer and I need assurance, or I prayed that prayer and I need to know what the next steps are. And we will help you take those steps. We want to breathe into your life an assurance that Jesus is real and that he has you. We don't want you to try to do this on your own. Some of you may have been around for a long, long time and you're thinking, well, it's going to be a little embarrassing for me to call one of the pastors and say, I think I finally get it and I just made the decision. That's okay. It is better to do that than to live life embarrassed and not make the decision. So if you've prayed that, please let us know so we can help you grow into these next steps of following Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus into this world to rescue us, to save us. Thank you for reminding us that we don't come to faith just because we're born into the church or born into a Christian family. We come to faith because we have personally understood we don't have it within us to save ourselves. And we need a Savior to do that. And you sent Jesus to be our Savior. Help us to jump into that, to step into it on purpose, and to walk in that newness of life starting today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.